Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
This is such an exciting time to be alive. Throughout all of human history, nobody has known what was going on. We've been clueless about so many things. I mean, learning how to better manage diseases, learning how to make fancier and fancier trinkets is a kind of progress. I think we've got to admit that. But even to this day, most people suffer a completely unnecessary fear of death, the most natural and joyous transition you can imagine. But death is the elephant in the room, right? No matter who you are, no matter what you might have accomplished or acquired in this life, sooner or later you too are going to leave with nothing. But this is the generation that's going to change all that. People who are living right now will at last be the ones to convince us all, to convince the world that in reality, in fact, nobody ever dies. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest this week is my cherished friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Craig is such a leading light in the field of afterlife studies that I have to tell you, everyone else I know in this field reveres him and reveres his work. And now he's devoting the rest of his life to a project that really is going to transform the world. Wait until you hear more about this. Welcome, Craig. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Hi, Roberta. You know, I just love talking with you. So this is a highlight of my day.
Oh, bless you, sir. Well, it certainly is a highlight of my week. But but look, I don't even know where to begin because there's so much we could talk about. But some people may not ever have even known who you are. So could you please just tell us really quickly what, because you sort of lived a lot of your life without knowing any of this, right? And then you became interested in it. When was that?
Well, I was actually 52 years old. I mean, you know, that was, they are saying now that because people are living longer, you know, that the Egyptians and those who lived at the time of Christ would have a full life and they would expire in the mid-30s. But now we are living to a greater age. And they're saying that now that the spiritual life really begins after the age of 50. And mine started at 52 and I just all of a sudden exploded because I had been drawn to be involved in many spiritual things having to do with psychic and afterlife affairs. And so I had been pulled into it almost against my will at the time. And since then I've been growing by leaps and bounds. It just, things are coming to me and I'm just diving in and getting all wet and whatever it is that we can do. And so it's been a wonderful adventure.
Yes, it certainly is for all of us. But this is hope for anyone listening who is kind of drawn but says, you know, I'm getting long in the tooth. I don't have time to do this. Oh, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. I didn't even understand what the meaning of my life really was until I was past retirement age. I spent mm-hmm. my life doing this research. I sort of was drawn to it earlier than you were, but I had no idea I'd ever do anything with it other than amuse myself. So a lot of us are being called now, and you and I are hearing from more and more people who are being called to mm-hmm. do more and to do this research. And I think what you're saying is, come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah,
and
that's right, jump in.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
I mean,
any time is a good time to start.
No.
So as I recall your story, you became interested in, explored the notion of mediums and remote viewing and that sort of thing.
Yeah, what happened was, I had been all of a sudden, mediums started coming in my life, just one after another. Everybody I met was a medium, and as I met these mediums and spent time with them, I got the idea that there's a whole lot more to life than what we see around us. That actually what we see around us is rather mundane. It's like the surface of it. And so then, as I was being introduced to all of these people who were mediums and psychics, I learned that I have psychic ability. And as I learned that I had psychic ability, then that drew me even further into it. And I could remote view. In other words, I could sit down and I can view things that are 1,000 miles away and describe accurately what they are and then tell the person there what they are and they confirm that for me. I can hold cards in my hand and face down on my palm, and I can read what the color is on the cards. And so I discovered I have these abilities, and that just convinced me even more of the fact that there's a whole lot more involved in it. And then as I was drawn into it, it's rather like the, when you're drawn into it and you discover things and you get over the boggle effect, like, oh, this can't be true. What in the world is going on here? When you get over that, you just keep getting further and further down the rabbit hole and realizing how much more and more is true that you would just never have imagined. I mean, the Matrix, you know, the idea of the film, The Matrix, everything in The Matrix is very much the kind of way that life is. You know, this is the normal life. This is the actual life. So I was drawn into it and kept learning more and more, and it's just exciting.
It is exciting. You and I are both at an age when many people are rocking in their chairs, mm-hmm. and I feel as if our lives are just beginning, which is the most
yes.
glorious
mm-hmm.
feeling for someone, for anyone who is being forced out of a job and said, "Oh, I have to retire. I don't want to retire. I'm too young." This is
no.
the thing to do because it keeps us young forever.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and you know, just starting.
It
what
is.
We're discovering now. It seems as though everything has been prepared for this time. The time of the discovery and the time of the actual action is just beginning. So we're right in the middle of it, you know. This is happening.
This is the, and we do pinch ourselves daily.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that we get to do this work?
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, anybody can join us, and there is plenty to be done. So if anyone is interested, just contact me, contact Craig. We'll certainly show you how.
Oh, yeah. We just love to have people involved. And partly because we just love to see people get excited. And the other part is because we're advancing humankind. Humankind has never been at this point. You know, we're at a point where we are making discoveries that make the discovery of new continents and new nations just pale because
yeah,
of what we're learning now. We are in new frontiers.
One of the things that surprised me when I got deep into doing afterlife research decades ago was discovering that there really wasn't much to research until the latter part of the 19th century, and then there was an explosion of good communications and information. Now what we're learning, you and I and others who are in this field, is that that was all deliberate. What we're being told now is that there's a process going on to raise the consciousness of everybody on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And having us interested in what goes on after death, having us learn the truth is part of that. It's like the lead-in to what they're really trying to do, which is to help us grow spiritually and heal what is a disastrous amount of negative energy on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, don't you
yes,
feel
and
that's
and
really where this goes?
That's where it's going. What we're doing is humankind is changing, and we're being led to it. So this is not something which is an accident. This is not something which is or a normal evolution of humankind. These are deliberate changes that are happening based upon the inspiration and the guidance and the help from those on the other side who are very anxious to see humankind advance. And so they're giving us everything they can. They're just anything that we need, anything we ask for, we get. And we're just seeing the beginning of it. And now that we have electronics, there were things that were happening in spiritualism, in advancements in understanding the other side since 1848, and we watched them advance and we learned from them. But when the technological age began, they on the other side picked up that ball right away and started running with it.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they are introducing us to technologies that we can use on the earth plane and that they're using on the other side, and we're combining these technologies from their side and from our side, and we're making advancements that are going to, in the next few years, just knock our socks off.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to be able to communicate.
Yes. It's exciting to contemplate. Well, let's get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that you're working on a number of fronts. I should just preface this by saying everyone in this field that I know has come to the conclusion that we aren't going to be able to change much of anything until we have good communication with those we used to think were dead, and until everyone who now is trying to ignore it is forced to acknowledge that communication. I mean, we already have had great communication for a long time, but it's been through mediums, and you know, physical mediums and mental mediums, and it's easy to say, well, that's not true. unless you actually study it with an open mind, and then you know it's true. But it's been possible to, for science to stonewall the truth for so long, for example, and certainly for Christianity to do it. And so what you've become interested in now is something which tells a little of the history of electronic communication. I mean, it started in the 70s, didn't it? That's when I first became aware of it.
Yeah, it started very early, and it started with it actually started at the beginning of the 20th century. There were recordings that were being made in the early part of the 20th century, and they were accidental. And so Jurgensen had been making recordings of birds, and when he played back the recordings of birds, he heard his mother speaking.
I remember
that was the beginning of it, and we have since then deliberately been making recordings, having some ways of communicating with the other side using electronics. And today, they on the other side and we on this side in teams are working together to make that technology possible so that we can communicate. And they're actually establishing stations on the other side whose sole intent is to communicate with us on the earth plane and to make that communication possible so that anybody can communicate from the other side to this side, and not just communicating with our loved ones who have crossed over there, but also communicating with extraterrestrials, with other people who are involved. And these are spiritual. The extraterrestrials we're talking about are spiritual people, are spiritual entities, and so they're not like Tobar and the robots, you know, and space cadets and that sort of thing. And these are individuals who are entities who are spiritual and want to communicate with us about spiritual things.
Here's the reality. We are all energy. Everything is energy. This whole level of reality is energy. And where the dead are is energy, too. And it's just like higher channels on the same TV, which is your mind. When you die, you just tune to a higher channel, and there you pick up a whole new solid reality. So where they are feels very solid to them, as solid as where we are feels to us. So when they talk about building machinery, we're talking serious machinery rather than just something hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
And I should also add one more thing, which is going to be important as we talk about this. Between where, you know, the happy places where our dead are and where we are, there are some levels of reality which are higher vibration than this earth, but not much, full of really negative entities, nasties. We've
mm-hmm.
never found any organized devil, but we certainly have found that there's a lot of negative energy, most of which, unfortunately, seems to have been created by human beings
mm-hmm.
without understanding what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these are facts they have to sort of deal with, and
mm-hmm.
that's been the reason why we've had so much trouble, because we haven't even understood what we were dealing with, never mind how to fix it. So tell us the history of the Brazilian station, if you can.
There actually were the station. There was another station called the Time Stream Station in Europe, a Rio do Tempo, meaning time stream. And it was a station that people had been communicating with, but they had not advanced it as far as Sonia Rinaldi has in communicating with the Brazilian station. Now, she's in Brazil, and she's a researcher in Brazil, and she started in 2001 to communicate with those on the other side. She discovered that there was a Brazilian station that she was going to be communicating with, and she then cultivated the signal between the earth plane in Brazil and the Brazilian station. And then within 2 years, she was getting very clear communications from them. And she learned from them that there is a station. This is actually a place of, as you say, the other spiritual planes are just like this spiritual plane. The earth plane is a spiritual plane. And so the solidity, what we feel is solid on this plane, is exactly what they have on their plane. Their plane is just as solid. It has desks and houses and streets
yes.
and all the same things that we have here.
Right.
And the Brazilian station, then, is a station just like a station would be here. And in it are technologies. And the technologies inside, they call machines. So they actually are machines, but they're not machines that have cogs and wheels. They would be electronic machines. And what they're doing is developing those machines so that they can communicate with us on this side, and all we have to do is just follow the rules, just follow what it is that they tell us to do. Sonia did that, and now she's able to communicate very clearly with people on the other side. And what they do is they bring people who have passed from the Earth plane into the station, and there they communicate. And she has communicated, she's had parents on this side of life communicate with their children who have passed, and she's done as many as 163 of these communications in a month, in a single month, and each one of those has anywhere up to 200 individual messages within a session in which a parent is communicating with their child on the other side through the station. So the purpose of the station is to allow us to communicate with those on the other side, and she's become very successful at it. She's also getting video and pictures, so that she can get video and pictures of animals, people, and extraterrestrials on the other side, and been very successful with it.
Let's stop and kind of understand what we're really saying here. There is a station which communicates in Portuguese, and my understanding is that's its lexicon. Mm-hmm. The process seems to involve having a lexicon of words in that language that can be used by the communicator. And Sonia, who I've met, she's delightful. You would never know she's so brilliant. She's such a delightful person. But she has worked out with the station that has chosen to work with her. And again, I've said this a number of times, bears repeating. This is not something where we choose to do it. This is something where we get chosen mm-hmm. by the people who are the real experimenters and the real experts, the people we used to think were dead. And she was chosen as someone who would stick with it and who had the right energies and the right abilities. So that's a great honor for her that, frankly, mm-hmm. that she was chosen. And, in fact, she is getting these extraordinary communications, not just with the dead, but also with people who are in comas. Because if you're in a coma, you're actually sitting in a room having what amounts to a metaphorical cigarette, kind of bored. She's had communications with them, and she's had communications recently, I think, with other people, you would like babies and people like that. I mean, mm-hmm. she's done a lot with this already. Mm-hmm. But now that it's getting to the point where it's reliable enough, the dead have said, the experimenters have said, the first people who are going to get to use this station are parents communicating with their children who have mm-hmm. died.
Yeah.
Now, think about how wonderful that is.
Yeah, and they've actually and said to us they want us to do that. They're asking us to do that. So part of this deal is that they're working with us is that we are willing to unite parents on this side with their children on the other side, because there's such a need, there's such grief there, and they realize that. And what we can do is we can help with that, because we can actually have them listen to their child from the other side. And so we're doing that. And as you say, Sonia now is communicated. She has communicated with an autistic child, with
yeah.
the mind of an autistic child. Now, the eternal mind, that eternal mind whom we really are, is always whole and healthy and has no difficulties. So the eternal mind of that autistic child, the child with autism in the physical realm, the eternal mind is perfectly healthy, has no autism, can communicate very clearly and lucidly and isn't inhibited in the way that an autistic child is. But what happens is when they're on the Earth plane, you have to play by the Earth plane rules. And so you're given a set of cards, you're given a set of rules that you have to play with in the Earth plane, and a child who is autistic was given that set of rules. But the consciousness, the mind that's behind it, the eternal mind that's learning from this experience on the Earth plane, that mind is whole and healthy and can communicate. And she now is getting recordings, electronic recordings, of this autistic child who speaks through the mechanisms, through the recorder, and then the parent can listen to what the child is saying. She's doing that right now.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So and we met her, I met her in 2014 at the Afterlife Conference that was held in Scottsdale that year. And she really blew our socks off with the kinds of communications and even photographs and things that she got
mm-hmm.
and showed us. And mm-hmm. Then I know you started to really work with her more closely, probably you already had been before that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you were told, we can't do English here.
Mm-hmm.
So did they then say, okay, go do it, go do it in North America?
What happened was we discovered, you know, as she was getting ready for our conference, the conference that you and I put together, I said to her, Sonia, we need to have English. You've got all of these people who are speaking in Portuguese, but we need to have English because the English speakers here need to hear it in English. And so she tried and tried, and she had English-speaking people come in and ask questions in the recordings to go to the station, and they kept coming back in Portuguese, and she couldn't get any English phrases. And she finally asked them, what's going on here? And they said in so many words, well, we have only a Portuguese lexicon. The Brazilian station is set up, and it's because it really is a machine. So they really do have to program it, or they do have to set it up. And they've set it up with a Portuguese lexicon. And the way that she describes it, and this is her theory about it, it is she calls it a bio machine, meaning that the consciousness of the individual who is speaking at the station goes into the machine. So in other words, telepathically, they communicate with the machine. That's the bio part. It's telepathic. But the machine part is what is the technology that turns it into an electromagnetic signal that comes to the Earth plane. And then that is impressed upon the laptop, the hard drive of the laptop, so then it can be played back as a voice. But that their lexicon is in Portuguese, and that's just the way life is. And she was able to get a couple of phrases. She actually got my mother, so we had my mother come through, but just in one phrase. And so she couldn't do anything with Portuguese. So then after the conference, we showed real interest here in Illinois and through what would become the Institute. And we showed a real interest in developing our relationship with the station to do this sort of thing for humankind. And they, on the other side, because they realized that we were serious about this and we were going to follow through with it and we were going to work with them, they decided to establish the North American station. And so we learned that they were establishing it, and all we had to do is just stay with them, keep recording, keep trying to help them to come through. And now, right now, the signal is very weak for various reasons, but it is improving, and it is scheduled to improve so that we have the clarity that Sonia has with the Brazilian station by the December of this year. So we're looking forward to December of 2016 as being the month in which we have those clear communications.
Wow. Well, I wanted to hear more about what's going on, but I'm just going to pause for a moment and say, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and the upcoming The Fun of Growing Forever. You can learn about all my books and find my blog and communicate with me if you like at through RobertaGrimes.com. Today we're talking with my wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. And I cannot sum up just how much meeting you has meant to me, Craig. The way this happened, and of course we know now all of it was arranged, was that I randomly got from Amazon in, it must have been 2008, the fact that Your Eternal Self was being published. I said, oh goody, I got to buy this book. Bought the book, and I read it, and it was so transformational. If, dear friends, if you haven't read Your Eternal Self by R. Craig Hogan, give yourselves that treat, because it opened so many parts of my mind that had never before been opened. And this was after having done so much research. I could not have written the books that I've written if it had not been for that book. So I said, oh, I've got to meet this guy. I've never done this before, but I contacted you and I said, will you come to Austin?
Mm-hmm.
And you did. And so that's mm-hmm. how we met. Probably it was early 2009, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we held at the Unity Church in Austin, you spoke. We held this wonderful event, and we filled the room, which is unusual for that church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, and that was the beginning. We've really been good friends ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we know none of this. None of this is accidental. It's all meant to happen.
Yeah, right.
And one by two, people have been gathered to us. That was a very important conference for me, because that was when I met both Victor and Wendy Zammit, and mm-hmm. the one that was held in 2014, and Suzanne Wilson, both of whom are critical to my life at this point. And now the five of us have come together under your leadership to form the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, where we hope to do just that. We hope to be able to finally raise the funds to do properly the research that should have been done a long time ago mm-hmm. by the scientific community but has not been done, and also to finally have an organized way for people to educate themselves, so you won't have to do what I did and randomly get an email from Amazon, but you will in fact have one place to go if you've got any questions, and there will be experts there who will have the answers for you. So that's what we are in the process of just getting started, and mm-hmm. it's very exciting. If you want to know more about the Institute, what's the website, Craig?
It's afterlifeinstitute.org.
All right, so, but we already have experts, right?
Right now we have the experts who have joined, and so they're part of our effort, mm-hmm. and they will be making themselves available. That part is not on there yet, but they will be making themselves available to answer questions. But right at the present time, anybody can email me. I know they can email you, and people need to know about the wonderful Afterlife Forums. At afterlifeforums.com, where you can get on and you can share what it is that you want to know. And Roberta gets on there and responds. I don't know how you find the time to do that, but you write wonderful responses. The ones that I've read have been very informative. I will answer when I do get on. But you can contact us. Anybody can contact us at any time, and we're very anxious to talk. And, of course, we have the self-guided afterlife connection procedure that I would like to have everybody learn, because what it does is train people how to make their own afterlife connections with their loved ones. They can become their own mediums. All they have to do is go through the training program. It's free. It's online.
Thank you for plugging the forum. Right after The Fun of Dying came out, I was told that I should start a forum. I said, oh, sure. So I did. And it's called the Afterlife Forums with an S, because the without the S was already taken. I don't think it matters at this point. But that it's got 5 years now of data on it. And its primary use right now is that you can search on just about anything and find where the people have discussed it, and experts have come on and help to solve it. We've just been told by Thomas, my primary guide, that he wants us to revamp it, and it will have more about the kinds of things Craig is talking about today, and more about the spiritual aspects of coming to understand what's actually going on. Because the primary thing I think that we've learned from our research is not even the fact that our minds are eternal and this is just like a bad day in school. But we've learned why we're here. Why mm-hmm. Why were we even born? We're born to grow spiritually. This is like an afternoon in a spiritual gym, and all the things we used to think were bad are actually good because we get on those machines and we strengthen our spiritual muscles. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's the next iteration of Afterlife Forums, and I have someone who is about to start to do the revamping. So
wonderful.
We may have to put up an under construction sign, but it's there, and the information is, as I say, very valuable.
Yeah, it's wonderful now, and I can imagine that it could be with the spiritual. There is no reason why people can't live in love, joy, and peace. So everyone should be living in love, joy, and peace. They should have no fears. They should have no problems with other people, with their own lives. They should be confident and healthy and mentally healthy and able to look forward to every day. And all they have to do is to stand up and look around and realize who they are in eternity.
Exactly.
And Jesus said that there, people just don't realize that, the kingdom of heaven is spread out upon the face of the earth. And, men just don't realize it. And we have to help people realize it.
Yes. No, this is to me the reason, real reason why I was born. It's what I'll do for the rest of my life. And I think others in this field are beginning to feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Just helping people to find the joy and just the peace and the freedom from fear that comes as you begin to grow spiritually. And it's easy. It's not hard. I'm going to be doing a podcast shortly just talking about the process as a prelude to the fun of growing forever. But anyway, there's a little plug for the things we're doing. And you can always, if you didn't write down, if you're driving, if you didn't write down any of this, you can always reach me at robertagrimes.com. Just send me an email through there. And I do answer emails. As you point out, Craig, there are days I do little else. But I think that's the most important thing I can do is answer your email. So do contact me if you need any direction in this. But let's go back to talking about your work, which is, I keep hearing tidbits about it, and it boggles my mind.
Boggles my mind.
Yes, and you're there.
Yeah, and I'm doing it.
Tell us now about the process. You've built what they've told you to do. You've set up what they've told you to set up. And then you just come together with, do you want to plug your friend? Because you have a wonderful young friend who's doing all this with you.
His name is Rob Blackburn, and he's with me here in Central Illinois. And Rob and I do regular recording. We record to connect with the North American station. We've also connected with the Brazilian station, which is really cosmic. It's just unbelievable. We were given by Sonia the recording of a Brazilian woman who spoke in Portuguese, who is now on the other side. She's been there for a couple of years, but she's working. She's instrumental in working with the stations. And so Sonia gave us a recording of her voice. And when we play a recording of her voice here in Illinois, and then we record that and ask questions while we're recording her voice, after the questions, when we play back the recording, we get her answers. And it's clearly not the voice that we had on the recording. It's clearly the voice that was added to it. And we've been able to interview her, and she comes through with crystal clarity. And we are learning things about the North American station, about the Brazilian station. But it's possible for any of the stations, for anybody in the world, to connect with any of the stations, it appears. And it's just a matter of whether you know Portuguese. So when this woman, whose name is Marlene, when Marlene comes through and speaks on our recordings, she speaks in Portuguese because she's using the Brazilian station. It's only got the Brazilian Portuguese lexicon. And so we had to have Sonia then translate for us. But what we've learned from her has just been incredible, just wonderful things that we've learned from her. But the very interesting thing, I'm not sure that you know this, Maria P. from San Diego is going to be going down to spend some time with Sonia. Maria was with us at the first conference that we did in 2014. She is the deputy tax collector for the county of San Diego.
But don't hold that against her. She's lovely.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Her two sons were tragically murdered, and Sonia has been connecting with them. And so now she is connecting with them instrumentally. She has the recordings, and the recordings are coming across in English through the Brazilian station, which is a real change. And that's just happened within the last couple of days. And so it appears that perhaps the Brazilian station is learning how to communicate in English. Marlene, who is the woman the Brazilian woman on the other side whom we've interviewed, said that she is working with someone named Lucio, who is helping with the English. And so it appears that perhaps the Brazilian station is going to expand into English. And that's just happened within the last couple of days. It's just marvelous occurrences.
Oh, it's so exciting. Wow.
It is so exciting. And the North American station is coming along.
Somewhere someone on an exercise machine is saying, what's this about playing a recording? So we ought to explain how this happened. At this stage of electronic communication, there's a recording played of, I guess, gibberish voices, right? Or voice. And then questions are asked. And when you play back the recording, you hear the answers, right? Somehow they use what's please explain that. How do they use what's on the recording you were playing to actually make the answers?
Yeah. So what happens is we have a recording of vocal sounds that have been broken up. So in other words, there are no words, but it's still the vocal sounds. And all we do is we cut off parts of every word. And so when you push them all together, then you have what sounds like gibberish. It just sounds like nonsense. But it's vocal, so it has voice qualities to it. So we play that through speakers. And as we play that through speakers, we have a microphone in front of the speakers, and we're recording the gibberish coming through the speakers. And then we ask questions through that microphone, and the questions then come on, and they're coming over top of the gibberish because we're recording them together. And so we ask a question of those on the other side through the station, and then we pause and wait for 10 to 20 seconds. We don't hear anything from the station at that time. All we're hearing is the gibberish is coming across. We just asked a question. It was recorded. And that's going into the laptop, and it's being recorded in the laptop. So now we've got a recording that's being made in the laptop with gibberish on it and our questions. When we play back that recording that's in the laptop, we hear the gibberish, we hear our questions, and then right after our questions, we hear their response from the North American station. So wow. Then they respond, and sometimes they respond before we ask the questions. In fact, Marlene does that regularly. When we're communicating with her, she will more often respond. And the reason is that it's telepathic. So when they respond to our questions, they're not really responding to the vocal questions that we ask. They're not responding to the vibrations we send through the air. They're responding to our telepathic, but what we're thinking, you know, what's coming into our mind. And so it comes into our mind before we ask the question.
Of course.
And so then she just answers it because it just came into our mind, and then we vocalize the question. But that's the way that we get the recordings. So we get the recordings, and with the Brazilian station and Marlene, they're crystal clear. They're just like the Marlene was standing in the room with a microphone talking. And that's what we're going to get on the North American station. Their signals right now are very weak. They're just developing them. And we have some difficulties with some entities that are between us and the North American station. And these entities don't want to see humankind advance. And they're standing in the way, and they're interfering with the signals. But we have been guaranteed by those on the other side numbers of times that we will have clear communication by the December of 2016. So we're looking forward to that. And that's coming. That's coming in the very near future.
But I want to talk about the scary guys. About a year ago, actually, I think it was probably 15 months ago, 14 months ago now, I was doing a reading unrelated to any of this with Suzanne Wilson, and she suddenly said, "Why am I seeing Craig Hogan's face?" and I said, "Well, because we're dear friends, of course." And she said, "Oh, no, because they want to give him a message. Please tell Craig that the problems, and you were having problems at that time that were making
yes.
you think you were going to have to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him the problems he's having are being caused. Oh, they look awful. These awful, ugly, and they look like lizard things.
Like lizards.
I can't stand to look at them," she said. And now that we know what's wrong, we know how to fix it, we will be clearing them out. Tell them it's going to take us a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give up, Craig. So immediately, of course, we don't call each other because we respect the fact that each of us is working hard, but I think I even called you about that. I was so excited to make sure you got the information. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and that was so meaningful to us because of the fact that we had had good conversations with the people at the station. We were getting really good signals, and then suddenly they stopped. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. And we assumed, of course, you always assume that it's because of something you're doing wrong. And so we assumed that we had screwed up, or they gave up on us, or something was gone wrong. And so we were kind of disillusioned, but we stayed with it. We just kept recording. But when we got the message through Susan, from your guides, to me, that was just earth-shattering. It just freed us from all of this anxiety about what was going on. So it was a very meaningful experience for us to hear that from you.
But it was exciting then for me to watch from the bleachers as you were fixing this, and you were were watching them. So this is an interesting problem. These entities apparently are not actually parts of eternal mind, which most everything else is, but they're actually negative projections of the negativity going on Earth, or some awful thing like that. We created this what amounts to living junk, and they feed on our negativity. And of course, once we have good communication and everyone knows life is eternal, we won't be nearly so negative, and they'll have nothing to eat. So this was a matter of life and death for them.
Yeah, they're going to die. They have a survival instinct, and they're going to go away when humankind matures and becomes loving and compassionate. And so they want to stay alive, and it really is. They are like thought entities. That's the only way to describe them. We don't realize how really powerful and real our thoughts are.
Yeah.
And so when we have a conception or we have a thought about something, it lives, it exists, it comes back in time. We can re-experience that. Other people can experience it. There are, they say, tell us from the other side through Leslie Flint, that who was a medium in the 20th century, that even Dickens' characters have a life. They actually have a life, and there is a realm in which they live. They live within the confines of what was going on in Dickens' books, but they do have a life there. And the reason is that so many people know about them. So many people have read Dickens' books. So many people believe that they are real characters, real people, that in fact that brings them into existence. So they do have a life on the other side, but these entities are like that. They're thought forms that are created out of negativity, out of anger and violence and all of the negative things that are going on in the earth plane now. And they have an existence, but it's not an eternal existence. They are not conscious beings in the sense that we are. And when that violence goes away, when the cruelty and the animosity and the difficulties on the earth plane go away, they are going to cease to exist.
Can't have that. So they
don't want that.
They were fighting. They were your people talk about laying fiber optic cable through the lower realms, which of course it's not, I'm sure, literal. Well, maybe it is. I have no idea. But they were disrupting. They were tearing up the tracks. They were doing whatever they could do. So what happened then was that the entities, the beings, the people working with Craig started fighting back with their weapon. And their weapon, I'd like to hold a contest so people could guess what their weapon is, but you already know what it is. Love. They filled the lower realms with loving beings, with angels, with these entities, and it's just like acid on snow.
Mm-hmm.
Love destroys fear and destroys evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pretty much gone now, right? I mean, there are...
Well, yeah, their influence is still there, but it's diminishing. And what's going on now is that that when you said the fiber optic cable, that actually was an analogy. It was done by someone on the earth plane who had said that. But it really is.
I thought it was one of them. Okay.
But it's a good analogy because of the fact that now they're saying that what they're doing is they're sending these signals to the earth plane on electromagnetism. So it is light. So they're sending it on light, and that's what fiber optic cables use. So it's a really good analogy. It actually is true that they are sending these signals, but they have to establish that channel. So in other words, it is like laying a fiber optic cable between the station to the earth plane and laying many of these. And in our interviews with Marlene, who is the Portuguese woman who's on the other side, Marlene is working very intimately with the stations. And what she says is that these stations now are going to be focusing on the North American station. And the North American station is going to be huge. She called it luxurious. And she says that there are going to be great things that are going to be coming out of the North American station. She calls it a leaps in technology and capability. So there are great things that are going to be happening. They're just at the process of happening right now. The signal is still very weak, but they're laying the fiber optic cable, they're laying the transmissions, they're getting more equipment at the station to do this, and we expect wonderful things by December of this year.
But anybody listening can help, right?
You're
asking
anybody
people
can get on.
to do this, because the more people actually are communicating with the station, the stronger the signal can become.
Yes.
So tell people how they can get involved. What would they do?
Yeah, all they have to do is, if they would like to go to the afterlifeinstitute.org, and that's the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, and then they will see a link on there to join in. It will take them to the instructions. It will tell them about the kind of software they have to have and how they set up the PC. And all of it is very easy. It uses everything. It's like taking things out of the kitchen sink or the kitchen cupboard and everything that you've got right now, and you can use it to do these recordings. And so we invite people to do that, and we ask Melanie on the other side whether there's going to be a problem if a whole lot of people get on, and what her response is, if they have the courage, let them get on. Meaning, if they want to go ahead and give it a shot, then we'd love to have them come on. So they're invited from the station to get on, and we will show them how to do it. The instructions are at afterlifeinstitute.org. And they can get on, and as they do it, then we want to communicate with each other about it. Right now, the signal is very weak. It's still being built up. It's going to take a while for it to be built up, but if you have the courage to stay on, in other words, the fortitude and the industry to stay with it, then they can be part of this pioneering effort.
And there are people all over the world who are doing this now. It
yes.
doesn't matter in the world where you are.
Hmm.
It speaks English, and if you want to try it, there's a woman who has, I can't remember what her name is, who recently came on to Afterlife Forums and was talking about doing this in southern England and all the wonderful results she was getting
mm-hmm.
through the North American station. So
mm-hmm.
This is something anybody can do. If you,
mm-hmm.
if you'd like to do something productive, maybe get more involved and more interested, it's something to try. If it doesn't
mm-hmm.
resonate with you, then there will be something else, which is the right thing for you to try. But
mm-hmm.
If I had the time, dear, I would be trying it
mm-hmm.
because I think it's so exciting to be part
it is
of history.
Exciting.
And this is history as we have never seen history made.
Mm-hmm.
There is no event in all of human history since we first stood upright that is going to equal in its power and impact the moment when it first dawns on this entire world that we don't die. We are eternal beings. By our very nature, we cannot die. And when we know that, it's going to change everything. So let's just talk really, we're almost at the end of our time, but let's talk briefly about where I think this is going and where what you maybe think. Because it seems to me that they're being kind to the parents and children by having them be first,
mm-hmm.
but they're also putting a megaphone into the hands of people who will use that megaphone. Because
mm-hmm.
the enemy right now is the fact that mainstream science refuses to look at any of this. I mean, if we had a hundredth of the money that's being spent on nonsense, like trying to figure out how to make brains last forever, if we had a tenth of that money, this would all be done now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the unfortunately, the dead don't use money, and so they keep forgetting these things cost money. But that's where we are. And this ignorance, this enforced ignorance, can only be ended when we flood the world with truth. And who's
yes.
going to do that more effectively than these parents who have just actually heard their child's voice and the
mm-hmm.
child is happy and growing up and this is what he did today?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change the world right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll laugh in the faces of the scientists who are
mm-hmm.
still trying to understand where consciousness comes from in the brain. What nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's what
yeah.
I think will happen. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And the scientists have their own children. They have their own spouses.
Oh, yeah.
They have all of these
right.
these people who are on the other side now. And they are going to wake up and they're going to wake up with a smile on their face because they're going to discover that this
yeah.
person has not gone away from them,
no
that they
way.
Can have a new relationship with them.
Yeah,
and that relationship
beautiful.
Can continue until they're on the same plane together again, on the same vibration, and they live together after they've finished with the earth plane.
Yeah.
But they're going to discover that themselves, and when they discover it, it's going to be a whole new world. But there is a critical mass of people who are now understanding what we know to be true, and what we have to do is get the word out. We have to help more people to have these communications, and that is going to require require funding. That's got to be the next effort, is to get the funding to be able to help the researchers and the developers and the people who are out there doing this. And once we start to get the funding into this effort, then it is going to explode. It's going to grow geometrically, because of the fact that the reality is there, and the comfort and the wonderful message is there, and all people have to do is just receive it, just understand it.
This is such a beautiful time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time, but Craig and I will be together again soon on another episode, because I have to stay in close touch with what's going on with you. This is so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are indeed, and we're about to prove it to you, a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you fully understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on webtalkradio.net and iTunes. And if you ever lose track of where I'm broadcasting now, because I do tend to move around a bit, you can always just check robertagrimes.com and find me. Our guest next week is going to be Sherry Pearl. Sherry is a beautiful, spiritual woman who had a desperate illness. She lost a child. And the transformative healing she has gone through and what she's now trying to do to help the world are almost unbelievable. She's going to lift your heart, so I hope you'll join us. This week, of course, we've been talking with the extraordinary and wonderful Dr. R. Craig Hogan. He is the man on earth who was chosen by the experts who are not now in physical bodies to work as their lead assistant in developing the North American station. And dear friends, it's happening right now. Now, this minute, those that we used to think were dead are about to make communication between the earth and the levels where they are living now so easy for us all that very soon it's no longer going to be possible for anyone to deny that human lives are all eternal. What then was going to happen is, as I hinted at, going to be delicious to contemplate. Everything is going to change. Fear will lessen dramatically. People who lose a loved one will ease their grief by a lot, and it's going to be wonderful in all those respects. The degree to which Craig's North American station, Gary Schwartz's Soul Phone, and other projects of which I'm not even aware, this is going on all over the world, the degree to which they're going to change everything, easing pain on earth, is thrilling to contemplate. But as I said, what excites me more is to foresee the moment when wars and hatreds and tyrannies will begin to fade away. Imagine how each human heart is going to change as we all begin to think on an eternal scale. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you really are a powerful eternal being, and forever you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.